The following message was preached by Pastor Don McKinney of the Glad Tidings Church in St. Charles, Louisiana. It was a full gospel church, not holding to the doctrines of grace, and this was his last message. It was preached on February 28th, the year 1970. Pastor McKinney is now the pastor of the Heritage Baptist Church in Lake Charles, Louisiana. This recording was actually outlawed. It was not allowed to be recorded. And so someone came in and, with a handheld recorder, recorded this last sermon of Pastor Don McKinney. And so keep that in mind as you listen to the poor quality, but the wonderful message that is to follow.
Grab a Bible with you. How many have a Bible? Got a Bible? Oh, we've had more Bible readings the last 2 weeks. Having glad tidings, I guess, the last 5 years. Well, I'm glad folks are reading the Bible, because the more you read the Bible, the more you're going to see. You won't learn anything unless you read, study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be shamed rightly, dividing the word of truth. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. If any man preach any other gospel than that which I've preached unto you, let him be anathema or accursed. If an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which I've preached unto you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. So the preaching of the gospel is a very serious thing. A minister has a charge to God. Peter said, when he was forbidden by the scribes and Pharisees to quit preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, he said, you judge whether we ought to obey God or whether we ought to obey men. So I'm reading today in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And I'm going to read two verses, the 13th and the 14th. I want you to draw a great big circle around it. I want you to take it home. I want you to read it, reread it, think about it, meditate on it, masticate it a little bit, digest it. It may be bitter in your mouth, but when it gets down your stomach, it's sweet. Well, that's the way the Bible is. Sometimes it's bitter in the mouth, but once you digest it, it's sweet. 13th verse. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, or loved of the Lord. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning about particular election, and I know you're not surprised. There are those who recoil at the words predestination and election. Now, this is an attitude of ignorance. Shall we be afraid to read or to preach anything that is in God's book because men have a warped idea of these doctrines is no excuse for sidestepping this glorious truth. What about God's ancient choice of his family? The human mind is prejudiced against this doctrine. Some say it's not practical to preach this doctrine, but they have erred from the truth. Whatever God has revealed in this book, he has revealed it for a reason and a purpose. And there is nothing in the Bible which may not, under the influence of God's Holy Spirit, be turned into a practical discourse. Can we accept all Scripture as being by inspiration of God and as being profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, or must we just take a fork and pick out what we assume to be profitable? No one has the right to confine Christian doctrine to particular persons, places, times, and cases. The Apostle Paul said, the Word of God is not bound. The truth and usefulness of Scripture should be measured and decided not according to the feeling of men. To say what is divine and wholesome is only what we find to be pleasing and acceptable to us is nonsense. The doctrine is without a doubt taught in the Scriptures, and were not men too proud to humble themselves to it, it would be universally believed and accepted throughout this world. Why do you not believe that God loves His children? And do you not know that God is unchangeable, He is immutable, in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow turning? Therefore, if He loves them today, He loves them now, He must always have loved them. And if so, can you see any difficulty in admitting that because He saved them, there must have been a purpose to save them, a purpose which existed before all worlds? Will you not grant me that? Will you not open your ears and at least give me a fair hearing this morning? If you will not, I must leave you to the Scriptures themselves. And if you will not be convinced on this point, then I will have to leave you unconvinced. For if the Word of God cannot convince you, certainly nothing I could say or do could do it. Lay aside your prejudices. Do not say, I do not believe this doctrine. Why should you oppose yourself to God's doctrine? Say nothing against God's doctrine, or some evil thing might happen to you. One time some children called out to a prophet and said, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And two she-bears came out of the woods and devoured them. And I'm not here to pronounce judgment upon anyone. But hear what the Scriptures say. If God should be pleased to reveal and manifest truth to your soul, do not be ashamed to confess it this morning. It is only acknowledging that you are a little wiser today. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you do not see it in the Scripture after I preach you this morning, you go ahead and reject it. My text, what we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, forever beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have four main points. Number one, I want to speak to you a little bit about the truthfulness of this doctrine. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Second, I shall try to prove that this election is absolute. He chose you from the beginning to salvation, not for sanctification, but through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
Thirdly, this election is eternal because the text says that God hath chosen you from the beginning. Fourthly, we want to talk about the fact that it's personal, because it says He hath chosen you. And then we'll look at the effects of this doctrine, and we'll look at its tendency to see if it is licentious. Let's think as a bee does when it goes to the flower. It goes there to see if any honey is there. Let us go to this doctrine of election this morning to see if there is any sweetness there, to see if there is some honey there, not to pass it up, but to inspect it, to open our minds and hearts to see what the Bible really says. So my first point is the truthfulness of this doctrine. If the people are called elect in the New Testament, there must be an election. Paul calls the saints elect. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He said, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, mercies and compassion. Jesus himself said there would become false prophets and teachers who, if it were possible, it's not possible, but if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And when he taught us to pray, he gave an illustration. And he concluded the illustration with, shall not God avenge his elect, though he bear long with them? Yes, I say unto you, he shall avenge them speedily. The apostle Peter said to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talks about election. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And then John wrote, and he wrote to the elect lady. We have many, many scriptures. The Bible speaks of Israel. After they did not receive Christ, he came to his own received him not. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and he says, the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. If you read in the margin, it says hardened. But the translators, I guess, were afraid to put that in there, so they softened it, and they put blinded. But several places that word blinded is used, and the margin says hardened. Let us look up and see what the word really says. And so God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said, you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men, not many mighty men are called. I thought everybody was called. Paul said they're not all called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world and the base things and the things which are despised to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. I'm giving you the good word of God this morning. I'm giving you what the Bible has to say, not what Mistress Reason concocts. Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Amen. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't, the Bible say, he came to save those that seek him. It says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And they are not of this world, even as he is not of the world. He said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father ye will do. Weren't all of God. Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Oh, I tell you, folks, we need to open our hearts to what the Bible really says. God's truth is on the rack. God's truth is in the torture chamber. And the reasonings and the philosophies of men are offended, because God put predestination and election in the Bible. Sir, God put it there to offend you.
Amen.
To let you go. As he has spoken, so shall it be. And as he purposed, so shall it stand.
Amen.
God has a purpose. This world is not spinning on its own
axis by itself. But God in the beginning created all things for His own good pleasure.
Amen.
And after the counsel of His own will. And He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand.
Amen.
Why, Abimelech took Abraham's wife one day, and he didn't know it was Abraham's wife. Abraham said she was his sister, and she was his half-sister, but he's afraid he's going to get killed. And so he pawned her off. His household revealed to him that Abraham was her husband. And Abimelech was appalled. And God said, well, that's all right, Abimelech. I kept you from sinning. I restrained you from sinning because I knew this. Brother, there's a case where God intervened and restrained what men would ordinarily do. One time the nations round about Judah were wanting to make war upon Judah. And the Bible says that God put the fear of the Lord in the hearts of those men so that they would not make war against Judah. Their will was to make war, but God let the fear of God drop upon them. They didn't do so. We're talking about the truth of this subject of election. Read Acts 13 and 48. Read it about 50 times. And said the Gentiles, when they heard the word of the Lord, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. It doesn't say as many as believed God ordained to eternal life, but they're reversed. Read it yourself. You went to school, you had English. You studied grammar? As many as were ordained unto eternal life believe. Now, if there was any way they could have changed that, the translators would have done it. But the word is so powerful in the Greek, they had to leave it just like it is. Brother, I want to take God's word just like it is.
Amen.
I want to take it unvarnished. I want to take it without the concoctions and the philosophies of men. I've got to stand before the judge of all the earth. If I have to walk down the road and push a fruit cart to make a living, I know one thing. My soul is not found this morning, but my soul is filled with God's word, and I am jealous to defend His truth against all comers. Brother, you can talk about the leading of the Spirit all you want to, but remember this, the Spirit and the Word agree.
Amen.
And the Holy Scripture is the school of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to have balance. And God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Brother, you better open your mind to the Bible. Don't jump to conclusions. Look and see what it really says. I'm talking about the truth of this book. Why, you just read, sing some of the song books. In some of the songs in the song books where he talks about, He invites His chosen people come and dine. When the roll is called up yonder, when His chosen people shall gather to their home beyond the sky. Why should you think it's a strange thing that God would choose you? The Bible is filled with those words. Appointed and chosen and foreordained and afore prepared until His glory. Wherefore you see how God has called both Jews and Gentiles to obtain salvation. We're talking about the truth of election. Now let's talk about is how absolute it is. That God has from the beginning chosen you to the opportunity of salvation. No, it's not in the book. God doesn't make a mistake when He writes His word. Somebody said to me, Paul got carried away when he wrote the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, and he said too much. Someone else said, we ought to cut the ninth chapter of Romans out of the Bible. Well, my friend, if that's all the Bible is, If we going to cut out parts of the Bible like Jehoiada in the Old Testament because it offends us, then we might as well pitch it all out. We're supposed to be full gospel. We're supposed to believe this whole Bible. Brother, you're going to believe it all. You're going to have to believe something about election. You can't say, I don't believe in election. You've got to believe something. You've got to get on there somewhere because God talks about it in this book. And he talks about predestination. And he has a lot to say about it. And just because you don't fully understand it, don't you get angry with God in his word. Because I tell you this morning, you may think you're angry with me, but you're angry with the Holy Scriptures of God.
Right.
When Jesus preached, the Bible says they were filled with anger. When he talked about election and choice, it says they said, this is a hard thing. Who can hear it? And whenever he discussed this subject, somehow the disciples that were following him no longer walked with him because they didn't want to hear it. Oh, my friend, there's something absolute about this. He had chosen us to salvation. It doesn't depend upon what we are. God doesn't call us because we're good. He doesn't call us because he saw something in us. Brother, if he saw anything in us, whether it be works or whether it even be faith, then he saves us out of debt. It cannot be grace. Because if there's something in us, then it's debt. It's not grace. Because grace means unmerited favor. There was nothing in you. The choice was in God's wisdom. God chose. God has the prerogative to choose. God has the right to do that which he would with his own. And no man can tell God what he can do. And your will does not rise above the will of God, but his will is supreme this morning. And he told his disciples to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe his will is going to be accomplished. He's chosen you to salvation. Why? When God chose you and called you, what were you? Paul said, you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, a man that's dead can't respond. He doesn't have anything. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and he stood there at the tomb, he didn't call in there and say, Lazarus, can you hear me? He didn't say, Lazarus, wiggle your finger. He was dead for days. He had no ability. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except to be given him from my Father. John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know, I've got power to crucify you or set you free. Jesus said, you can have no power except it be given you from above. Brother, I want you to know, the God that I serve sits on his throne in heaven, and the earth is his footstool, and he has all power in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
He's chosen you to salvation. The Bible says there's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh God. The Old Testament, there's none that stirreth up himself to lay hold on thee. Brother, that's inability. Man doesn't have the ability. Man was fallen. Adam had a free will. He did have the power to choose. He wasn't holy, but he was innocent. And he chose. He had a free will. But when man fell, his will was corrupted. And his will fell. And now he's responsible to God. The only thing, the will cannot choose God. It doesn't have the ability. It always chooses wrongly. It always chooses that which is evil. And so God, in regeneration, first precedes faith. God goes in behind your will. And the Bible said he'd do a new thing. He'd take out the heart of stone and he'd put in a heart of flesh. That's regeneration. And when God does that, your old will gets soft. And then you believe your way in. Or the Bible says of Lydia that God opened her heart. I thought we'd open ours. It says in the scriptures that God opened her heart and she attended unto the words spoken by Paul. The Bible says that God added daily such as should be saved. The Bible says one plants and another waters, but it's God that gives the increase.
Amen.
If you're offended this morning, you're offended at the Bible, because that's what I'm giving you. And then it's eternal. It says from the beginning. Can anybody tell me when the beginning was? What's he talking about? Is he talking about when Adam was created and placed in the Garden of Eden? No, I believe it goes back further than that. Does it mean when he created the world billions of years ago, or whenever it was, in ages past? Is that what he's talking about? No, I believe it goes back further than that. I believe we can go back, way back in eternity, when all the universe slept in the mind of God as yet unborn, when God lived alone. The Bible says God, from the beginning, as it says over there in the book of Ephesians, read it yourself, my friend, and don't be prejudiced, and don't read into it, but read out of it. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us, when in Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that's regeneration, and we should be holy without blame, that's justification, before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Amen.
And my friend, if you can say thumbs down on that, you might as well throw it out the window and just don't read the Bible at all. My conscience is captive with the word of God, and I can say with Paul, I count all things but loss, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, brother, it's eternal from the beginning. From the beginning. God's immutable. He doesn't change his mind. If you've got eternal life this morning, you've got eternal life. People quote, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I've had everybody quote that to me. All right, I'll take it. Let's take John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. Should not perish. But have everlasting life. You're going to take the last part of it too? You've got to believe that if you believe, you cannot perish. If God gives you the gift of God, eternal life, and it can be terminated a few days after you get it, you didn't get very much. That's no salvation at all. Brother, God's not an Indian giver. When he gave you eternal life, he gave it to you lock, stock, and barrel. You have eternal life.
Amen.
We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That's election. So behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Oh, my friend, beloved, now are we the sons of God because of the great God, love of God the Father. See the Father in this. Jesus said, thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. They were elect in the heart of God in eternity. And Jesus came, and the Father gave them to him. Talking about particular election. It's from the beginning. And then last, it's personal. He said, chosen you. You. It's personal. Not corporate election. People say, well, He chose nations. That's a lie. But even if he did choose nations, that's worse. He chose, God chose one nation over another. That means multitudes were chosen over multitudes of others. But the Bible says that the high priest prophesied not of himself, but being the high priest. That year he said, it's better that one man should die than that the whole nation should perish, and that this one man should die not only for the nation, and it talks about the people in that verse, not only for the people of that nation, that's what it means, but it says for the children of God scattered abroad. The Bible says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Those that the Father elected, the Son redeemed 100%. He purchased us with his blood. He purchased the church with his own blood. Oh, hear me today. Jesus Christ didn't give us a chance at salvation. He fought salvation at Calvary for you and I. We've been redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as with a lamb without spot and without blemish, who was barely foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, my brother, he bought your soul. Some people talk about a redemption that didn't redeem. You talk about limited atonement. You either limited in its power, or you limited in its extent.
Amen.
If you say that Jesus died for the whole world entirely and for all sin, then his atonement was watered down, because it's not the multitudes that are saved, it's just the few. So you've limited in its quality. You've limited the quality of the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you say that he died for God's elect, and died for each and every one of them, he said, of all that thou hast given me, I have lost nothing, but I will raise it up in the last day. If he died for the elect, then he redeemed us 100%. It's a perfect redemption. Not that God couldn't have redeemed the whole world, but it wasn't his purpose. He didn't save all the Israelites. Moses said, oh God, that this whole nation might be thy people. And God said, Moses, you have I known by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. But Moses said, oh God, why don't you save the whole nation? And God said, you have I known by name, and you have found grace in my sight. But he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. But I want you to know it's God's business. It's God's work, and our first aim is the glory of God. That's why God made all things. And my friend, this morning, God has a purpose. God has a counsel. God has a will. And he said his word would not return unto him void, but accomplish that
whereunto
is sent. Yeah. And if you preach to a multitude of people and everybody doesn't get saved, if it's God's will and purpose that everybody should have been saved when the word went forth, then the word of God didn't accomplish that whereunto it is sent. Brother, if that isn't a nutshell, if that isn't a lot, talk about that and think about that a little bit. Chosen you, personal. I'm glad for a personal salvation. I'll give you a good verse. Paul said, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Oh, I'm glad I'm chosen. Amen. I talked to a Jewish doctor. Oh, I said, I don't like the idea. Jews being God's chosen people. Nobody's chosen. I said to myself, well, I'm glad you. It's all right if you want to feel that way. I'm glad I'm chosen. When anything in me, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Hear it. But according to his mercy, he saved us. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power of the ability to become the sons of God. Next verse. Which were born out of blood. Abraham's crowd came out, but John the Baptist said, think not that you have Abraham for your father. Just because Abraham's your father doesn't mean you've got a free pass to heaven. He said, God is able of these stones
Amen.
To make children of God. That's what he said. Able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham, not of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. Or of the will of man. But of God. That's in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Read it. Read it. Ninth chapter of Romans. You've been reading it. I don't have to quote it. He says, so you see then it's not of him that willeth, but of him that runneth, but of God who showeth mercy. What shall we say to this? Is God unjust? Is God unrighteous? Well, that's what it was talking about. Why is the objection there? If Paul's talking about nations, he wasn't talking about salvation. Why is there such a controversy? Why is it saying? You think God's monstrously unfair, like one translation. Further down, he says, what shall we say to these things? When he said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I, in whom I will I harden. Now, cut it out. Get your pocket knife and cut it out. The objection says, thou wilt say then, why doth God find fault? For who hath resisted his will? They can't resist the will of God. That's what Paul said. And men are offended at this truth. They got all kinds of reasons. Rather, they're offended at God. They're angry at God. And I don't take any personal feeling for anything's been said or done to me or any attitude, because it's not me that they're offended at. They're offended at the Bible. They're offended at what God said in His Word. Oh, brother, I'm set for the defense of all the Bible. All the Bible and all truth. Whether I like it or not, you know, pill's not meant to be chewed. It's meant to be swallowed. Some things in the Bible are hard to understand. And they which are unstable and unlearned. We've got laymen going around being exegetes. Laymen going around knowing all the answers. Teaching others. Here's a man that's labored in the Bible 31 years. God opened this truth 8 years ago. Someone said, well, pardon me for saying this. Says, well, says, I thought you were the stronger man. Thought that your brother influenced. Everybody blaming my brother down here for this truth. Well, he introduced me to some of this. But you know, it wasn't him. He's not the one that influenced me. This is what influenced me. It's the Bible. Yeah. Now, folks, when you leave here this morning, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You'll be at variance with God. All right, we're going to make application. What's the effects? Many say, well, here's folks that don't live right. Well, I believe if you're elect, you live right. I don't believe a child of God goes out into the highways and byways and lives in fellowship with the world. I never believe that. I don't believe you're elect apart from regeneration, the process of the new birth. That's a lie from hell. An election is not election to damnation. All are lost. God can step aside, let the whole world go to hell, and He's just God. But if He decides to save some, just like a governor can write a pardon and send it to the penitentiary, and some old murderer's turned free. Well, that fellow that's there on just a small felony, he can't say, the governor's unjust. No, because the governor has that right to write a pardon. You think God doesn't have any right? If you had any hold on God, it'd be a different thing, but your God doesn't owe you anything.
Right.
He said, I will say, who hath resisted his will? But Paul answers, says, hush, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Can the thing formed say to him that formed him, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, all the same lump, folks, to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? Now, God, there's three things God could have done with the lump of humanity when they fell. When Adam sinned, with all sin in Adam, he got one lump. God's justice said, damn all. And just. God's benevolence said, save all. But
God's wisdom said, divide the lump. Both God's justice and his benevolence is satisfied. God does not pick men arbitrarily. To say that is to question the wisdom of God.
That's right.
The reason some of us are saved today and other people are not is lies in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Brother, his ways are past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who's been his instructor? Who's been his counselor? The same lump make the one vessel to honor, another unto dishonor. What if God willing to show his wrath on the vessels of destruction, fitted to destruction? And then he said, goes on and talks about the vessels of mercy which he afore prepared unto his glory, to those who are called as effectual calling to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles. People say that's not a salvation chapter. It opens up with salvation. Paul's praying for Israel that's lost. That I wish I could be damned in order they might be saved, brother. He's talking about salvation. When you flip that scripture out of its setting and say it's talking about material privileges, you're violating all the rules of hermeneutics.
That's right.
It's a salvation theme. That's why he ends up to you that are called both Jews and Greeks. I know it's hard. I didn't write it. But I can read it. Sweeter text. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Loved of the Lord. Brother, if he loves you now, he loved you in eternity. You were in his heart. You're not of this world. You're of God. 13th chapter of Revelation, the 8th verse. They shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from before the foundation of the world. David said, all thy members were written in the book before they were formed. Eternity past. God chose you in Christ that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth.